from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the 12th day of March 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear from Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago about the agricultural energy sector. Along the way, I'll tell you more about the crop insurance decisions that producers are making this week, and we'll also talk about the weather forecast for the Great Plains states and the real troubles it's creating for livestock producers there. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, that's public radio, for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at, well, hey, a turnaround Tuesday, Wayne.
Yeah, it was sort of fun, wasn't it? All green across the screen. Something new and different for the way things have been lately. But, you know, we were getting to a pretty oversold condition here, and the funds had got some very, very large shorts, and the farmers decided to lock the bin doors, and we saw the pipeline get tight and a little demand coming out of the cash buying sector.
Yeah, so what happened in the wheat market? I saw something yesterday about Egypt not being happy with Russia. I don't know whether that really actually had anything to do with the wheat market and its move this afternoon, or were there other factors that you were able to discern, or did it just decide to jump like the rest of the market?
Well, there was three or four things happened, Todd. I mean, first off, the dollar was a little lower, the euro was a little higher, which sort of helped turn things around that way. The unhappiness with some of the Russian quality didn't hurt anything. And the talk that Russia next week is going to see high pressure ridge over the Ukraine, which could last for 30 days through the wheat heading season and could, knock their wheat crop a little bit that along the way. So along with all of the oversold condition, the funds being pretty big buyers of wheat today when the market rallied, they sort of fed what they've been feeding on the way down. They fed it on the way back up. So, you know, the funds were short about 86,000 contracts a week when we started the morning.
Is it now done, or do we have more left?
Well, you know, that's going to all depend on a couple, three things. It depends on whether the funds, whether this will turn them around enough to want to keep buying, or whether there'll be enough buying from some of the commercials to want to get in here to purchase or price some stuff along the way, and even some maybe foreign buyers that might be looking at it to buy it when we're down here and sort of seeing a little bit of turnaround on the charts. But, it's not unusual when you have a day like today to see a little bit of a setback the next day.
I know that when we get to the weather segment, I've talked to Don Day already, and I spent the full time talking about that great big blizzard coming across the High Plains and the impact on livestock there. You also have some contacts in the Delta region. It's been really wet. Are there concerns there yet at this time of year about their planting progress?
Well, I mean, they're behind. I mean, there's areas that should have been going along. They're not going, and the guys in the Mid-South they're saying they're still sopping wet. Basically, they're not able to do any field work, and this is a time when they would generally be out running the tractors pretty hard, and I know they're not. So, you know, there is that, and there's the weather forecast that we see coming across, and it's coming across that area again. It's going to keep it soaked. You know, that, and then the warmer weather is up north, so some of the snow melt filling the rivers and keeping the rivers full and overflowing and coming down through. We're going to see some flooding happen from some of that, too. As we come down through and break up some of the ice, even in the Illinois, Mississippi, as they come down. So, yeah, a lot of problems and a little bit on delayed planting. Not quite as scary as it used to be for the fact that we have so much bigger machinery now, and planting can happen very fast, but expect some delays. And a lot of guys looking at the price levels, if they were to stay down here, they're not going to get too excited about getting out and getting planting if they could prevent planting.
And on the other side of that, the export market will suffer just because there's some flooding on the lower Mississippi at this time. And that great big snowpack may have an impact for a long time on the ability of the U.S. to move up and down the river system, grain and other supplies.
Well, if you've looked at the basis levels of late, the Gulf has been quite a bit higher because it has, they're running short of grain down there now because of the problems and the barge freight coming down the river. So that has been one of the problems. Now, if we could get this little agreement sort of signed here soon and going. We might see some stuff going out of the Pacific Northwest for a change, going to China with some of the activities. So, you know, that's another thing that would be very good is we can, instead of trying to have to come down to the same Gulf market, if we could take some of that Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, Nebraska stuff out the Pacific Northwest, that would help what's going on in the Gulf also.
We'll hear in a moment that U.S. Trade Representative Lighthizer was talking at a hearing this morning with the Senate Finance Committee, I believe, and it sounds as if they've still got a ways to go. He says it'll be done one way or the other, I guess, in a few weeks. We'll see what that means. I don't know.
You know, he said we're in the final weeks, which, and he did say it might be hard to be in the month of March, but it was that things were going good and they were in contact and progress was being made. And for Lighthizer to say that, that was a very big deal.
Yeah, indeed. The other item before we switch topics here, Informa came out with a set of acreage figures today. Did you happen to see those? There was a 91.8 million acres for corn?
Yeah, 91.8 on the corn and 85.5. So that was up 180,000 from their last estimate, and the beans were actually down 550,000 acres from their last estimate. So that was a little bit positive. You know, the beans, I think that staying under 92 is probably still not too bad as far as what we're looking at of the corn for right now. But those were numbers that come out that way. You know, we also had CONAB come out today, and they reduced their bean number from 115.3 to 113.5. So that was a little bit of positive news also.
Yeah, so yeah, those CONAB numbers were out at 7 o'clock this morning. I forgot about those. That seems like a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Too much fun in between. And it was fun today.
Yeah, I posted those to the Twitter account at Commodity Week early today. Hey, thanks, Wayne, for taking the time with us. Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, President Donald Trump and some farm state lawmakers are on a collision course when it comes to the Agriculture Department's budget. Trump's new fiscal 2020 spending blueprint, released yesterday, calls for shrinking USDA programs by a total of 15%. Now, those, of course, were just endorsed by Congress in the 2018 Farm Bill, from food stamps to conservation efforts and commodity subsidies, including a 14% bite out of the crop insurance programs. On the flip side, Mr. Trump also requested more funding for core trade functions as negotiations with a handful of major partners ramp up in the months ahead. With the new USMCA trade deal expected to come before Congress soon, by the way, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling for an all-hands-on meeting of the House Democrats to hear from Mr. Trump's chief on trade Wednesday. That would be Robert Lighthizer. Speaking of which, Lighthizer appeared before the Senate Finance Committee today. I'll read you some of the alerts that were dropped out from that particular meeting. Mr. Lighthizer says the U.S. supports penalties for countries failing to report subsidies to the WTO. He also says that Mr. Trump will not agree to a deal with China unless it is enforceable, and that addressing structural intellectual property issues with precision in the China talks is something he's pursuing. The trade representative thinks the new deal with China would open up a lot of agricultural sales for U.S. farmers. He says the whole of the trade agreement will be between 110 and 120 pages in length. And finally today, the trade representative said during today's Finance Committee hearing that we'll have, quote, a good result or we're going to have a bad result before too long, unquote. The time frame is up to Mr. Trump, says Trade Representative Lighthizer. On this Tuesday afternoon, time to check in on the agricultural energy. Stephen Platt is here. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Stephen, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
How have things changed in this complex?
We've seen the energy markets trade in a pretty tight range here relative to what we've seen over the past or year or so, this is probably one of the tighter ranges we've seen here, holding to a $53 to $57 range in WTI crude the past month. And pretty tight ranges on both gasoline and distillate, but overall, those have actually shown some moves relative to crude, actually larger than the crude move itself. Gasoline margins have improved over the past month. What we've seen in terms of the underlying fundamentals in these markets have been basically OPEC at odds with U.S. in terms of production levels. OPEC continues to drop their production levels, led by Saudi Arabia, while the U.S. continues to expand their production to record high levels here from the shale oil properties, particularly in the Permian Basin. So the impact of some of these supply cuts by these producers has been relatively muted by the expanding production in the U.S., and that continues to be a big factor. So overall, it is surprising that even with OPEC making a concerted effort at cutting production and also unintended production declines in terms of Venezuela and Iran, that we have not seen a stronger market evolve. And a lot of that certainly is traced to the U.S., which has filled in some of those gaps. I think as we move into plannings here in terms of the U.S. Midwest, you probably do need to look at maybe your distillate or diesel fuel needs and possibly look at coverage if we do see this market break back down toward the lower end of the range. Another factor that we'll be looking at is the EPA will be publishing some of the E15 rule lifting rules, lifting the summer ban on higher ethanol blends here, possibly tomorrow. So those factors could play a role here as we move into plannings and possibly provide some support to at least the ethanol market, which has had some problems evolve here in terms of weak margins.
Yeah, so can we talk a little bit about this West Texas area or the Permian Basin that you mentioned up front? Are they capable of producing so efficiently that they're able to move shale oil into the marketplace at these low levels, or are they moving into the world market at a below cost of production level?
Well, some of these areas have seen some pretty large scale discounting in terms of the shale areas, particularly the Bakken, and even the Permian Basin did have some pretty pronounced discounting going on because they did not have the pipeline space to move the oil to the Gulf, to where it's typically refined. But that is slowly changing as pipeline capacity expands, and it has helped out some of those margins in terms of differentials to West Texas Intermediate. So overall, you are starting to see, still seeing a lot of production taking place in those areas, and it's actually being led by some of the majors here, such as Chevron and Exxon, which does suggest that they're there to stay.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate all the insight.
Our pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. That's Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, normally I would ask you about weather across the planet in some of the growing regions, but there's a great big winter storm that is brewing across your part of the world in the northern plain states, and it's going to cause some real problems for livestock producers. I know you've been talking with them as they're in the midst of this calving season. What are the discussion points that they have at this time?
Well, all of the livestock interests across the northern plains and the northern Rockies have had a very difficult last 2 months. It's been one storm after another, colder than normal temperatures. There's already been livestock losses just from the severe cold we had earlier this winter. And now we're looking at a classic high plains blizzard. It looks like Wyoming, Nebraska, South Dakota, portions of North Dakota, portions of Colorado and northwest Kansas. We'll see in many areas over a foot of snow with sustained winds of 30 to 60 miles an hour, some higher gusts, and we're looking at a lot of folks. Middle of calving season, was talking to a rancher this morning in eastern Wyoming that has 600 calves he's got to tend to here over the next 48 hours, and he's got to get through those conditions I just mentioned.
Yeah, so and they're all in remote places, so that it's not as if they're in feedlots. These are animals that are out on the range.
Yeah, these are range animals and don't have a situation where there are large enough barns to put them all in. So best you can do is find the best windbreak you possibly can, give them as much shelter as possible, and hope the next 48 to 60 hours they can weather through it. But this is going to be tough. It's been very, very stressful in those areas that is noted for stock growers this winter. Probably the hardest winter they can remember in quite a while, and unfortunately it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, so what kinds of conditions are most worrisome? I know there's snow, probably wind, temperatures. You tell me.
Well, it's a combination of all those things, but with the wet snow that's going to begin with this, with the wind, the wet conditions at first with falling temperatures are going to be causing problems for hypothermia, especially on the newborns. You'll also worry about the severe drifting. When the snow is this heavy and drifts up, you can get snow in nostrils. You'll get a situation to where literally the animals can suffocate just from snow blowing into their nostrils. And so there's a myriad of things that will cause problems with this storm.
Okay, now tell me about the storm over the next 2 or 3 days. What's its track look like?
Well, what it will do is it will reach its strongest point tomorrow across those areas I just mentioned before heading up into the Arrowhead of Minnesota. It's going to spread some rain into the Corn Belt and the Midwest areas. So at least for the western and central Corn Belt, there could be some good amounts of rain that could exceed an inch or more, portions of Missouri, Illinois, eastern Iowa, portions of Wisconsin, but it will stay liquid in those areas while it's those northwestern areas that are going to be seeing the snow.
And know that the folks here in our part of the world where we have sunshine at least now and a bunch warmer temperatures are thinking about you and hurting for those producers out there too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.